Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Welcome to this place of restoration.
Christian Ministries presents First Lady and co-pastor Darlene Bazemore.
It is with great honor and pleasure that I have the joy of introducing this mighty, mighty woman of God.
Amen.
That I know has a word from the Lord for us. So help me to welcome your co-pastor and mine,
yeah,
co-pastor Darlene Bazemore.
Amen.
Amen. Why are you standing? We're going to have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord God, we come before you, Lord, as humbly as we know how. We pray, Father God, oh God, just to thank you for your goodness and to thank you for your grace and your mercy, oh God, that has allowed us to be here on today. We thank you, Father God, for this place of restoration. And we pray, Father God, that I would decrease, Lord God, that you may increase in me. Oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus, give me clarity of thought, clarity of speech, Lord God. Oh God, we pray, Father God, that you would have complete control and you would take control of this place in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh God, fill me up to the overflow, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh God, mold these lips of clay in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh God, and we thank you and we give you the praise and the glory. I rebuke every spirit of distraction. I rebuke every infirmity, every sickness, every disease in the mighty name of Jesus. We come against it in the name of Jesus, and we declare and decree complete and divine health and healing in this place of restoration on today. So God, we thank you and we praise you and we give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. We thank God for the opportunity, amen, to come before you on today. I am just happy about Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I'm just happy about the Lord, happy about what he's doing in each and every one of our lives. Amen. And it seems like, you know, there are times when the enemy may try to distract you and he may try to come against you in many different types of ways, but the devil is a lie. One thing we do know, that if it's not lining up with the word of God, then it's a lie from the pit of hell. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. So it's God's word that we, you know, base our everything off of, and it's God's word that we stand on today. And in his word, there's strength, there's joy, there's peace, there's healing, there's comfort.
Yes,
there's
yes.
all of the things that we need in the word of God. Amen.
Yes.
There's nothing that makes me, one of the things that makes me so angry is how the enemy tries to attack the people of God.
Yes, yes.
He tries to attack you. He tries to whisper in your ear. He tries to get you to do everything but keep your mind stayed on him.
Yes.
Amen. But he is a liar from the pit of hell. He has no place. He has no power. He has no rule or dominion over you. Amen.
Yes.
So we have the authority within us to take authority and speak to those things that we do not want to happen in our lives. Speak to those things and those situations that we may be going through. Line them up with the word of God. If you're not feeling well, we have to line it up with the word of God. Well, the word of God says that I was healed by the wounds in his side. And the word of God says it's by his stripes that I am healed. The word of God also says that I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. So see, devil, you got a lot of work to that you might have to do here, because my word and what I'm lining up to is telling me that I serve the Abba Father, who is the God that healeth all my diseases. So if I can have it, he can heal it. And I'm not accepting what you're trying to whisper into my ear and how you're trying to make me feel. So I'm going to line myself up with the word. I'm going to think how God would have me to think. If I think on those things which are lovely, which are pure, which are just, when if I think on those things, and if I keep my mind stayed on what He has said about me in His Word, then I know that my healing is there. I know that my peace is there. I know that my joy is there. I know that my comfort is there in times of sorrow. I know that I have a peace that passes all understanding, because I won't even understand how I have peace during this situation. Amen. So we have to line up our thinking with the Word of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm just excited on this morning. I tell you, it bothers me when the enemy tries to bother God's people and when he tries to come against them. But he is a liar. He is a liar. And I know that the things that we go through sometimes, you know, if we're living our lives according to how God has destined, then I know that some of the things that we're going through, we have not brought on ourselves, but it's the enemy that is doing it. So I give him no glory and no honor on today. I don't even give him that. I don't even, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, praise his name or anything like that, but I praise the name of Jesus, because I know that it's Jesus that carries me through, and I know that it's his grace and his mercy that he provides to us each and every day that is what takes us through the situations that we go through in life. So getting to amen, I tell you, I'm like on a tangent this morning. Amen. But it just, you know, anyway. We are healed by the blood of the Lord. Amen. 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 So, as Pastor had mentioned, Pastor Troy did have to have surgery today, so we are asking, you know, those that may be listening that are not in this room, we are asking you to pray for him and pray for his complete and divine healing. Amen. 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 He is healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As I was studying for today, I had heard something a couple of weeks ago, and my sister-in-law and I, we were talking, and we were talking about GPS, you know, and we were talking about men, and when men are driving. And a lot of times, not all men, but a lot of times when you're traveling with a man, he does not want to use GPS. He does not want to seek out directions or seek out help, pull into a gas station when we didn't have GPS, and ask for directions. Amen. Whereas if a woman is driving and she feels a little lost, a little turned around, they're going to stop right away, because we don't want to go any further out of our way than the way that we should be going. And so I was talking to Joan, and I said to her, I said, you know what? I said, now the GPS, when I press OnStar says to me, you know, I said, well, I need directions to such and such. And I said, okay, we're putting those directions into your car. You should have them in a moment. And I said, okay, this is good. But you start driving, and Britt, you make one wrong turn, and OnStar is telling you, you have left the planned route. When you return to the planned route, your directions will resume. So you're saying to yourself, okay, well, I made a wrong turn. How am I going to get to the planned route? But we were talking about that, and then we started talking about God. And how a lot of times we find ourselves in situations because we didn't follow the planned route. We didn't follow God's direction, but we had our own plan in mind. We had shortcuts. Oh, well, if I go down this road, it'll take me here, and that'll take off 10 or 15 minutes off of my drive. But we end up going through shortcuts, and it really extends the trip longer, because the shortcut wasn't really a shortcut because you left the planned route. We were talking about that, and I was looking and I was thinking about how many times have I tried to do things on my own. How many times have you tried to do something in your own might and in your own power? And you said, you know what, I got this. you know, God's plan is taking way too long. Even though it's supposed to be the fastest route, you know, they tell you, you are now on the fastest route to get to your destination. Even though he's telling you and he's directing you and you know that that's the fastest route, you know, I can raise my hand and say there were plenty of times when I tried to do it on my own. But a lot of times when you do it that way, you say to yourself then, how did that work out for you? Well, you know what? I came across this detour, and it took me 20 minutes longer than the fastest route.
Yes.
So, you know, you say to yourself, if I had just followed the route in situations in my life that God had for me, if I had followed his direction, then I could have alleviated a whole lot of stuff, a whole lot of detours that I went through if I had just followed the planned route. There were a lot of decisions that I made in my younger years. And looking back in retrospect, I say to myself, you know what? If I had done it the way that I knew I was supposed to do it, because come on, let's face it, a lot of times when you're making a decision, you have a feel and a sense in your spirit of what is right. And you, before you make your final decision, it's like the Holy Spirit is telling you in your gut, if it's not right, you know that something is pulling and tugging at you and you're struggling. But if the decision is a God decision, then you'll have peace with that decision. You won't have the struggling or the struggle that you would trying to do it the other way. So a lot of times, you know, you say to yourself with different situations, and I know in my life in particular, had I done things differently and had I followed that inner guidance from the Holy Spirit, then my whole life would have been different. Not just one thing, but my whole life would have been different. It would have been life-changing for me. But because I didn't follow the leading of the Lord in this one particular circumstance that I can think about, things went a total different way for me. And it's almost like you hear on your phone or whatever, when you have directions up, you hear rerouting. You're now rerouting. Because you're rerouting because you've left that plan that God had for you.
Yes.
You know, and I think back sometimes and I say, well, you know what, if I had done it that way, wow, I wonder what would have happened. I wonder the path that it would have led me to. But I mean, your past is your past. You know, God has forgiven me and each and every one of us for maybe falling off of that path and not following things exactly the way he had planned for us. But a lot of times, you know, when you think about even characters in the Bible, you say to yourself, okay, well, I wonder what life would have been like if Noah hadn't built the ark. You know, I wonder what would have happened if Moses didn't use his rod and his staff to part the Red Sea. You know, I wonder what would have happened if Esther had told Mordecai, no, I'm not going before the king. You know, all of these things had, or all of these circumstances had detrimental results that came along with the decision. But when you're led of God and when you listen to his voice and when you don't allow the enemy to cloud your perception and to cloud your hearing, and when you are just totally open and surrendered to God, and when you are listening for him, he will speak to you.
He will.
He'll speak to you, he'll lead you, he'll direct you, he'll guide you, and he'll put you on the path that he has designed for you to take. And I shudder to think what would have happened if even Jesus had said, you know what, Father, this cup is just way too much for me to bear. I can't go through with it. Then we wouldn't be reconciled back to the Father right now. We wouldn't have relationship with God right now had Jesus changed his mind and not followed the direction and the leading of his Abba Father, his Creator. So it is imperative for us to stay on that planned route. To not leave the planned route, to follow God's direction, to follow his leading, and to follow his guidance into the things that he would have for us to do. When I think about when I think about life in general, and when I think about, as I stated before, in the example with directions, it takes me back a lot of times when you're putting things together. And I might ask John, he may be putting something together, or Pastor, I may ask him, you know, well, have you read the directions? And he'll say, well, you know what, darling, this is simple. You know, I don't need the directions, you know. And I say, okay. And so he'll continue to put it, he'll continue to try and work it out. Oh, I can't find this, I can't find that, I need this. Can you hand me the screwdriver? And I'm like, John, did you read the directions? And he's like, look, I don't need the directions. I'm good. If you could just hand me the screwdriver, it would be helpful. I'm like, okay, all right, you got this. Me, I read the directions on everything. If it's a cake box mix, I'm reading the directions. I may have made that cake 20 times. I may know in my mind I need one egg, one tablespoon of oil. You know, one cup of water or whatever. But I'm looking at those directions like I have read it for the first time. And it's imperative to us to follow the directions. Because you can alleviate so much stress and so much anxiety if you just follow God's directions. Amen? When you don't read the directions, God is just rerouting. You are like rerouting all over again. He's like, you hear that on your phone, it's like rerouting, rerouting. You're like, okay, well, just take me somewhere. And God is saying, well, if you had just followed the plan, if you had just followed the direction that I had given you, you wouldn't be rerouting right now. But thank God for the reroute, because then he gets us back on plan. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord God. If we don't follow the plans that God has given us for our life, we will never feel the full experience of peace and joy in our lives. Amen. The peace and joy that God has for us. Not to mention the purpose in our lives that he has for us to be fulfilled. So that's why it's so important to stay on route. Follow the directions that God has given you. When God has a call on your life, you may take detours. You may take the scenic route. God knows that I have. I've taken way the scenic route. I've seen the hills and everything by taking the scenic route. And seen some valleys. Amen. But God's GPS, as I call it, will keep saying to you, you're rerouting. You're rerouting. Just to get you back on the path that he has designed. Amen. You may try to delay the inevitable by what you consider having fun or having a good time, but you will always feel that tug and that pull within your spirit to get back on track. In one moment. Fun is based on what you're doing in the moment. When the fun is over, you've lost your joy. Have you ever been on a roller coaster ride? Yeah, fun is for that moment, for that all flat of 2 minutes or whatever, however long the ride is. But then when you're done, the joy is over. And you have to say to yourself, well, do I want to get back in that line and get back on the roller coaster? Or do I want to go to something else? Fun can be expensive, but joy is free. Joy is deep down on the inside. Joy is free. Joy is based on your relationship with Jesus Christ. When you follow what the Word tells us to do, we will have the peace and joy that comes from being in relationship with Him. Amen? In Psalm 16 and 11, it states in the King James Version, it says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." In the Message Bible it says, the same verse, now you've got my feet back on the life path, all radiant from the shining of your face. Ever since you took my hand, I'm on the right way. And you, when you think of what God is saying, when he brings you back into his presence, he's giving us the joy and the completeness and the fullness that comes from being in his presence.
Yes.
He gives that to us. And when he's directing us, we can't go wrong. We cannot go wrong. We must follow after the things of the Spirit and not after the things of the flesh. Because in his presence, there is fullness of joy. Amen. We're going to turn to Romans 8. We're going to read verse 1 and 2. Romans 8, 1 and 2. Verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit is life in Christ Jesus, hath made me free from the law of sin and death." We have to follow after the way of the Spirit. We cannot continue to think that we're going to go to the next level if we continue to follow the ways after the flesh. But we have to follow the way after the Spirit. If you want to have and enjoy the freedom that comes from being in relationship with him, Jesus Christ, because he died for you and I, then we must learn to follow the Spirit of God. Amen? One sure way to know if you're following the flesh and not the Spirit is that you're not at peace with your decision and you're struggling. If you're struggling with something, then as Tyler Perry's Madea's, in his movie, Madea's brother would say, "Don't do it." Don't do it. If you are struggling with something, just don't do it. Yeah. Follow that inner leading.
Yeah.
Follow that inner voice. Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Follow that unction that he is giving you. And just stay in the will of God. In thinking of one person in particular who was running away and who wanted to do things his way, it takes me to Jonah, the book of Jonah. And if you would turn there with me, Jonah, his story a lot of us are very familiar with. And God called Jonah to go and preach to the people of Nineveh, which was one of the most important cities in Assyria. And although it was an important city, it was full of evil exploits. It was against God. It had exploitation of the helpless, cruelty of war, idolatry, and so on, and so on, and so on. It was just a wicked place. And Jonah, he grew up hating the Assyrians. But God wanted him to go there and to send a message, to give a message to the people there. But in Jonah in chapter 1, starting at verse 2, it says, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." And then in verse 3, "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." So when you look at this, God had already given him direction.
Yes, yes.
God had given him the planned route that he was supposed to take. But he took his own route. So he wanted to go through his own little detour. He wanted to do things his way. And when you do things your way and you don't listen to the voice of the Lord, it takes you all off direction. All off direction. And what's funny is that Jonah actually thought that he could flee from the presence of God. That's the funny part. When God is an omnipresent God, he is everywhere.
Yes.
He is everywhere and he knows all things all of the time. So there's no way that you could flee from him at all. And then going down to verse 6, it says, you know, let me backtrack a little bit. It says, so he goes onto this boat, and then it says, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Okay, so there's this terrible storm, paraphrasing, terrible storm, and this ship is about to become shipwrecked with everybody on it, everyone on it, okay? And so the ship master, they're looking around, and everybody on this ship or on this boat is crying out to whatever God they're familiar with. They're crying out. Jonah is fast asleep. He's like, I'm chilling. I don't even know what's going on. So in verse 6, the shipmaster, he came to him and he said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Like, what are you doing? Like, what is going on down here? Arise, call upon thy God. Like, get up. Whatever God you serve, that's who you need to be calling on, because we're all about to die out here. And if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said, every one to his fellow, come, and let us cast lots. So it's like they're drawing straws. And they're doing this in such a way, it's almost like to fulfill their superstition of whoever has the shortest straw, then they know what's going on. They've got the answer to what's happening here. And you know how when we were in school, you know, we used to play games, and whoever had the shortest straw, that's who was it and all of that. Well, okay, in this case, it was Jonah, and he was it. He was found out. So then verse 9 says, and he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then they were really afraid. They're like, okay, I know what God he's talking about. So they say, well, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. And so he goes on, and, you know, he's like, listen, just throw me overboard, you know. Just take me up, in verse 12, and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men, they try to spare him from being thrown into the sea, so they try to get to dry land, but it's just not happening because this storm is just so great. So finally, they cry out unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took him up, they threw him, and they cast him forth into the sea. And at that time, the sea ceased from her raging. So now, these men that just threw him overboard, they're like, okay, the men feared the Lord exceedingly now. So they had cried out to every other god that could have possibly been cried out to before. But when they saw that sea stopped raging, they were like, okay, it's Jonah's God. He is the God of God.
Yes, yes.
Amen. So in reverence to that, they offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. So even in his misdirection, even in his detour, even in his disobedience, God still had a plan for Jonah. He still provided a way of escape, and that's what he does for us. Even though we may go through the detours, even though we may get rerouted, and even though we may not follow his direction, God is always there.
Yes.
With his loving hand and with his loving arms of protection to reroute us and get us back on track. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. There are times that we too are given directions from God, and we run from his plan and from his directive. But he loves us so, so much. And it's first things first with God. You know, a lot of times we think the direction that he's given us is just too much for us to bear, but it's not. We have to know that he won't give us more than we can bear, and that we can do this. We can do whatever he's directing your hands to do, you can do it with the help of the Lord. Because all things are possible with him. And he is the God that strengthens us to do all things. Amen? So we must have the mindset of God. We have to think like God would think. We have to stay on the path that he has ordained. Amen? We may question, well, God, you know, is this the right way? You know, is this what you really want me to do? But we have to realize that if it's not lining up with the word of God, then it's not of God. But if we can follow his direction, and what we're doing is lining up with his word and lining up with the way that he has taught us to do things, then more than likely you are following the will and the direction of God. But if it's not lining up, and if you're struggling, and if you're not at peace with your decisions and with what the direction that you're going, then we need to seek God. We need to seek him, seek his will, and seek his face like never before, because we don't want to be not following his will. Amen?
Amen.
In verses, I've already read through verses 4 and 17, and it really speaks to what happened on the ship. And then when you go to the second chapter of Jonah, it talks to his prayer when he was inside the belly of the fish. And one thing that we have to say about him is that he had a prayer of thankfulness. He didn't have a prayer of where, you know, he was like angry about his surroundings or anything like that. He knew that he was at the depths of the sea. He knew all of the things that were surrounding him in the belly of this fish, but he was thankful. In verse 7, it says that when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple, that they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. In verse 9, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. He was thanking God, even though his surroundings were not great. He was thankful that he had life. He was thankful that he wasn't just drowned by being thrown into the sea. But he recognized the God that he served, and he had a heart of thankfulness.
Hallelujah.
And it's just like with us when we're going through different situations, and when we may have fallen off track and not followed his plan according to the way that he had it mapped out, and we see ourselves in this dark place, we have to still give God praise and thankfulness.
Yes.
Because it could have been a different way.
Yes.
I look at myself and different things that I have gone through with the decisions that I have made, and I say, God, if it had not been for you by my side, I don't know where I would be. And it's by God's grace and his mercy that he provided the belly of a fish for Jonah, but that he's provided grace and mercy for us. Where would we be without Jesus making the ultimate sacrifice on the cross for the remission of our sins? Where would we be right now if we had continued down the path that we had started on years ago? I know where I would be. I probably wouldn't even be here. Sitting at a table in college with friends, and they're, you know, cutting up nickel bags and all that sort of stuff, and I'm just sitting there chilling like, you know, okay, it's no big deal. Anybody could have came into that apartment wanting to kill whoever the dealer was, and just because I was there, just because I was sitting there, I could have gotten killed right along with them. And later on, years later, I found out
that the person that I was seeing that was doing that, he went into someone else's territory and they killed him and put him in the trunk of his own BMW. Something I could have been riding with him. And they wouldn't have just killed him and said, okay, miss, you can go. No, they're going to kill me too. But it was by God's grace and his mercy that God had another plan. He had another path. He said, rerouting, you're coming home. Your mom is sick. I know it's not the best of situations, but you're coming home. You're not staying down there. And it's the same thing for each and every one of us. It may not be a situation like that. It may be something simpler. It may be something more detrimental. But God said, I'm rerouting you, Cheryl. I'm rerouting you. Because I want you to follow this path that I have ordained for your life. Yeah, you may get tired. You may get weary. But I am the God that supplies your strength. I supply your comfort. I supply everything. All provision is in me. So just follow my path. Follow my path. And go the way that I have designed for your life. And in verse 10 it says, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Amen. In the beginning of chapter 3 it says, and the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it. And preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Verse 3, so Jonah arose. Amen. He said, no more belly of the fish from me. He arose and he went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city and 3 days' journey. And then it goes on to the story of when he went to Nineveh and what happened there. And in closing and with this chapter, it says in the verse 10, and God saw their works, because inevitably when Jonah went to them, he said and cried out to the people that Nineveh was getting ready to be overthrown. So he had the people, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. And so did the king. He did the same. And then in verse 10, it says, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Amen. So a lot of times, you know, we find ourselves in different situations, but we have to follow the leading of God and the direction of God. Because here's what's happening. When we don't follow his direction and we don't follow his leading, there are others that are being hurt by our decision that is not correct.
That's right.
When we do not follow his direction, it is then putting someone else in harm's way. Because if the Lord is leading Pat to call Brittany and have prayer for her, if she does not do it because she's busy doing other things, Brittany may have a terrible, terrible migraine or a sinus infection, and she may need that prayer at that time. But if Pat says within herself, well, you know what, I'm going to do it my way. I'll call her at 5 when I have a break, and then I'll have more time. I would have eaten by then, you know. Then I can just stretch out and really have prayer. Brittany may be on the verge of going to the emergency room. So we have to be willing. We have to be surrendered vessels unto God, so that if he's saying to us, we have to be so attentive to his voice that if he's saying to us to do it and do it now, then we need to move now. There's no more time for us to do it our way. We have to do it the way that God has ordained for us to do it in order to move to that next level. Obedience is what is going to take us to the next level. We have to be attentive to the direction that God has for this ministry to go in order to get to the next level that he wants us to be. But we have to be listening. We have to be attentive to His word. We have to be attentive to His way. And we can't let anything distract us from doing that. If God has put something in our hands to do, then we have to do that very thing. We can't let anything come in between that. We can't say, well, you know what, God, I'll do it in a minute. Time out for that. There are lives at stake.
Yes.
There's somebody that may be getting ready to commit suicide. And you cannot be, it's not incumbent to take it upon yourself to say, you know what, God, I'll do it later. We have to follow His leading. We have to follow His direction. And we have to stay on the path that He has ordained for our lives. There may be times when you'll go through the ups and you'll go through the downs. You'll go through the detours. It may take you a little longer to get to where you need to be. But the main thing that we have to remember is that when God reroutes us and gives us a second chance, then we have to stay on that path. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You're all standing.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you are encouraged by God's word and will tune in next time to this station for our Sunday service at Restoration Christian Ministries. Stay encouraged and have a blessed week.